we offer to all, many times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityambi tatyambi sadaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over any suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Resistance. Yes, the mind gets obsessed with things or is worried about things or whatever the process is that it's doing, and wishing it were different or trying to fix that is just adding another layer of difficulty. So I was very grateful just to be reminded to treat that mental process of kind of obsession with drawing and constantly drawing, like the radio, and that's just playing in the background.
You don't have to necessarily give it attention. When you're resisting it in the way you're talking about, you really are giving it attention, aren't you?
Yes.
It's almost like you're making it real through your relationship with it. But if it's just the radio playing off in the background, then it doesn't really particularly, you might not be able to turn it off, but it doesn't have to, affect you in particular.
Yes.
You can choose other places to put your attention and not have to be drawn into the obsessive thinking.
Yes. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to have that skill. To be able to step outside of that whole process.
Yeah, I hear two things. There's the skill in, you know, being able to step out of the process, which really is a, would you agree, is a skill in directing the attention?
Yes.
Being able to turn the attention away. So there's that, and there's also the awareness of what's going on. And those two things together, really, that really opens up the possibility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because you became aware, around about dawn, it sounds like this morning, of the process that was happening.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that, I think it sounds like the way you had been looking at it before, the only process going on is this process of obsessive thinking about the drawing. You realize that's not all that's going on. A part of the process is the resistance to that.
Yes.
And that whole, and that kind of took it from here, where you're involved with it, and you know, you're in it, and put it out here where you're really not.
Yeah.
And in that, there's the power to direct the attention and have a different experience.
Yes. Yeah. And as you're reflecting, I realized during the night, the practice of directing the attention was with me. I mean, I would, there was definitely an eye there. And the process that I was using was to direct the attention to get the thinking to stop.
Right.
So it was trying to get a result. It was still resistance.
Yes.
It was that ego taking the wonderful skill of directing the attention and using it to keep everything
together. Yeah, that's neat. It's interesting the way that you're describing that, because what I saw as you're saying that is, it's one thing to direct the attention. There's another thing to allow an eye to direct the attention with an agenda. And that's really what you're talking about, isn't it? So if an eye is directing the attention, you're still, like you said, it was the understanding of directing the attention, and even the skill of directing attention is there. It's just being used by an agenda, you know, a point of view or a desire that's outside of your awareness. So it's not the directing attention, we might say, it's not pure. It's not a letting go. There's an intention there to try to make it come out a certain way. Without that eye, then it really is, we might say, I don't know, maybe we say it's life directing attention. You know, it's just allowing life to unfold. It's a completely different thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Let's see, Jen.
That's interesting. I feel like I've been looking at something really similar in a completely different sort of content way. That not because of any intention, but just it's kind of been happening. I've noticed a shift around looking at systems of being organized or not.
Okay.
And I don't know, some number of weeks ago, it just was one of those places where it felt like, boy, the details are flying.
You're talking about organizing information.
Information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I kept having this experience of something would arise, like something pretty significant, that life would, you know, whatever, someone mentions it, or I walk past it, or it's like, whoa, where did that detail go? You know what I mean? I knew that had to be done. That's on a list somewhere. I don't know which list, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it is.
It's like the info void.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disappears.
Truly.
I know that.
Yeah.
One. Yeah.
And at a certain point, it's, at least for me, it's disconcerting. Like, yikes. Where is that? I know, it's not like that's brand new information, like, okay, so, you know, the tree falls, okay, now we have to chainsaw it, you know? It's like, I had that piece of information,
right,
but I don't know where it went or how.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the where is interesting, the how is really interesting.
Exactly.
How in the world did that disappear?
And that, it feels like kind of what the shift has been, that, again, as I say, not really even, like, meaning to, but the shift has been to just watching what's going on, to where it's like, how to describe it, it's like, so when something like that happens, really looking at, where did that piece of information go?
Mm-hmm.
And when I discover where it is, how did I lose it there? Something about that isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing, like when, often for me, a piece of information will come through and it's like, what do I do with that? Well, I'm not sure where to put that.
Where to put it? Mm-hmm.
And it really is just simply a place of looking at, well, let's see.
Mm-hmm.
When am I next going to need it?
Mm-hmm.
what about it is, you know, just sort of asking all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this feeling of, the image that just passed through was like hiring a coach to help me, where the coach is just watching what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
No investment in like it's good or bad or it's right or it's wrong, or
yeah.
even in particular that there's something to fix,
mm-hmm.
but simply just watching what is so, and it's like from that the systems fall out.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I see the connection you're making to the previous conversation also,
mm-hmm.
that it's that just watching.
Exactly.
It? Yeah,
exactly.
It's so you haven't mentioned what the alternative would be, but like for me it could be like feeling bad about that this appeared,
yeah.
or frustrated, or
yeah.
really wanting it not to happen anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's in our language around here, you know, there's a somebody
mm-hmm.
having a relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're practicing with instead of that is really not having a somebody in relationship with it.
Exactly.
It's really just kind of awareness and maybe we might say the spirit of inquiry.
Yeah.
Having a relationship with it.
Yeah, and you know, as you reflect that, the particular example that caught my attention when I was first seeing this is that I mean forever, and I know I'm not alone in this, but I've been looking at what's just the right calendar? You know, what's just the right haha?
I'm pretty sure you're not alone.
You look at ghost people, you can see it.
There's a whole section about the culture.
I know it's December, January is coming, right? It's like, clean slate, you know, that whole thing. And how many systems have I tried? And what I just saw the other day was, wow, you know what? What's different right now is that there's no sense of how many systems have I tried. It's just a sense of what's going to work right now. And that just what's going to work right now. And so do that. Until it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, it's not loaded.
It's not loaded.
Yeah, it doesn't have any, there's nothing behind it other than just sounds like a desire for things to be as orderly, as efficient as you can see how to make them right now. But there's no, like, no feeling bad, no self-hate, nobody trying to do that.
Yeah.
It really is just, it's almost like we talk about, you know, kind of allowing life to unfold and life to guide and that kind of thing. It really is that kind of thing, isn't it? Just with this particular area.
And not getting locked into something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's another big one. Is like I was looking at this on a process level too. Of okay, I've got it. Now we're going to
forever.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the whole culture does that because all the calendars and stuff disappear like in February.
Uh-huh.
So then you're stuck with whatever you get in January.
Right.
And there's no, you can't have any flexibility.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I needed a 2014 calendar. So I was picking one out, and I watched this like, oh God, this one and that one, and then I was like, this one seems the most appropriate for right now.
Mm-hmm.
We can always get another one,
mm-hmm.
if we find out. And that's the thing, so it's like, use the system until I see, you know, from that watching process, another piece of it drops in, okay, then we can refine it in this way, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and the other part of that I noticed for myself is, that thing that I'm doing right now is the step on the way to
exactly.
whatever the next thing is.
Exactly.
So it's not like they're, well, that was the wrong thing, and now I need the right thing. It's,
exactly.
I'm doing this, and then that shows me, that teaches me something, or it gives me a possibility to have before something, and then there's the next step.
Yeah.
But if we have, you're describing for us, I think, like a rigidity, you know,
exactly.
a rigidity in the mind that says, there is only one right thing, it has to be that way forever. There can't be any flexibility. We can't adapt ourselves to the way life is happening right now.
Yeah.
There has to be this one thing that can kind of control all of it.
And I could spend an entire lifetime discovering what that one right thing is.
Mm-hmm. And never actually
get it. Of course, because that's not, I mean, that process is designed to find the wrong thing.
Exactly.
Everything is the wrong thing.
Everything is the wrong thing. And life is not rigid that way either.
Yeah.
It's always moving and changing.
You know, the huge benefit of it, of course, is on the spiritual level. And I was just watching that in meditation this morning, where it's that same process of like, just simply watching,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just watching what brings the attention away in a non-judgmental, you know, open-hearted way informs what's needed to assist the attention in being here.
Yeah, I think that's what is meant, or at least part of it, by the practice of pure attention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're taking that same awareness that you had in relationship to organizing and organizing tools and stuff, and seeing that it really is, it's applicable everywhere, mm-hmm. and particularly in spiritual practice and in meditation. Because yeah. in there also, you don't want to be somebody trying to do something.
Yeah.
You don't want to have some kind of a rigid technique that you're following.
Right.
That's trying to produce a certain result. You want to be available for life as it unfolds, with the flexibility to go wherever it's going with whatever is appropriate right now.
Yeah, exactly. And there's just total, there's no taking any of it personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, you know, like what's being talked about, it's my mind, or it's my system of organization, or it has anything to do with, like, you know, the value of me or anything like that.
Anything like that, yeah. It's surprisingly powerful too, isn't it?
It really is.
Because, you know, it's you know, we often talk about, you know, getting out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get out of the way, and then suddenly all of the energy and intelligence that is, you know, life, kind of with a capital L, that's what's applying, that's what is like applying the attention and is supplying the insights and awarenesses.
Yeah.
And that's fast compared to this little tiny, you know, thing that's in our head that we're trying to use to control everything with.
Yeah.
It's becomes very powerful when we, it's kind of like channeling that intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking at that exact same thing related to what is the process of life guiding?
What is the process of life guiding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had a Friday the 13th. And there were like three really big things that triggered my karma.
Uh-huh.
And so I was, you know, in coaching, it's been arising to seek out those opportunities. To seek out the opportunities where that karma arises.
I see. Uh-huh.
And then that's your best opportunity to see what conditioning is doing.
Instead of hiding from it or avoiding it or...
Yeah, so I had to practice what I was coaching.
I'm stumbling over something. I can't remember what's supposed to happen on Friday the 13th. Does everything go wrong?
It's just unlucky, kind of superstitious.
Okay.
Normally, nothing happens.
But you just okay.
Yeah, and so Friday, it was just like one right after another kind of thing, and so I what brought the awareness to it, like just okay, well, what's happening? How can I let life guide through this? And then there's more to do, you know, next week related to what happened, all these things. And
so you were taking that coaching in, it sounds like. You really were treating them as opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and seeing that one of the things that it is going into a situation where life may be bringing up something that isn't a popular thing with other people to do, and realizing that my karma around what other people think about it can change, cause me to change my way of going about it, right?
So let me say if I'm with you. So it feels like life is presenting something. It's not coming from ego. It's coming from life. Other people might not be popular with other people, which is understandable. Your karmic relationship with other people and what they think about it is going to cause you to choose something that's not life in order to accommodate them or take care of them or something.
Yeah, or it just all gets confusing. You
I
know,
see.
So, and what I came to was that's conditioning, saying what the other, you know, it's all conditioning whenever it's not life, whether it's the other people or me, or, you know, but my projection is my, or the conditioning that I'm hearing in my own head, and then, but looking to see how to let life guide through the all of that, and bringing just the pure attention to it, and redirecting the attention to that,
to
just, you know, redirecting the attention to the awareness of, you know, what is all this, and just looking at it in a non-judgmental, compassionate, aware way.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you said the pure attention. Anything, any step outside of that, mm-hmm. is not going to work, is it?
Right.
It really does. It really does have to be a practice of pure attention, attending to, and then allowing, you know, life to manifest and take care of and unfold and all the things that mm-hmm. we talk about. Exactly. But any step from ego identity, you know, outside of just pure attention, is going to influence in some way. Like you said, you get confused, or mm-hmm. yeah, you'll be steered in some way that really wasn't what was coming through.
Yeah, and there's this whole figuring out, and, you know, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that, mm-hmm. you know, all of this, and that's all ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just watching all of that go on, mm-hmm. and in the awareness of it, mm-hmm. just is where the freedom is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's almost like that. All the stuff that ego is doing, in some ways, can be an assist, can't it?
Yeah.
It can help us if we realize that's what it is and we're attending to it. It can help us to be at center, because that's the only place that we can attend to ego and what's going on.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's like it gives us, like that, you know, triangulation. You know, you have a couple, three or four points out there, and you know where those points are, then you can kind of get a sense of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of thing. It's like, oh, I see the voices are doing this, and okay, there's this process going on over here. But all of that, all of the awareness of that happens really from a place of pure attention.
Yeah, and unless you're in that place, then you're in ego.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was sitting here today meditating, it was also the other part of it is ego coming in to narrate about it. And one of the things it narrates to me quite frequently is, you don't know how to do this.
Uh-huh.
You're not aware.
Uh-huh.
You're way behind. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole, you know, and I thought, that is so not true.
Yeah, it's true for it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's projecting that big time. He has no idea. He doesn't know how to do this. Yeah, it's way behind. It's out of sync.
Yeah, because, like, when all this happened Friday, I pretty much knew to go to awareness, to redirect mm-hmm. the attention, and I really didn't suffer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I suffered a little, you know, mm-hmm. I could see that going on, and I said, okay, I'm suffering, I'm going to drop it,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn my attention. You know, I'm sure it was not quite as, easy as I just stated it, but it was like I just kept dropping it. I kept going, I know there's another way, yeah. I'm going to mm-hmm. turn my attention.
You know exactly what to do, exactly how to handle it.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it comes in always trying to hook me in all these different ways.
Yeah.
To get me back into that. And really about what other people think is a big one. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you do this, then they're going to think this. And I'm thinking, well, what will really happen if they think that? Or what are they going to do to me?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So it's trying to hook you in all these different places. And if it doesn't hook you in kind of on the normal content places, it'll start trying to hit your practice.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know how to do this, you don't know how to do practice.
Yeah.
Just, but it doesn't really matter, does it? It's just something to pull you out of that place of just attending to what's going on.
Right, and that's really all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is attending to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That you can always drop it.
Yeah.
It's
always available, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That place of pure attention.
Mm-hmm. And when you learn that skill, which was referred to at the beginning, everything's available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to be victimized by any circumstances.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank you. Let's see, David.
Well, everything that's been said has been really helpful so far. And I have a commitment to participate, so.
Jumping in there.
I'm sitting here, I'm getting coached right now, going, stay calm, stay calm. I'm nervous as all get out.
That's a nice technique, actually, to say what's going on right now.
Yeah,
that really helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Actually, it helps to take some of the sting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know what I'm going to say at all.
Will be interesting then, won't it?
There's a few things that I'm aware of in terms of wanting to out, you know, kind of not live behind the screen of.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I spoke a little bit about it last Sunday, just in terms of. Kind of that place of, kind of ego has this racket going, this belief going that I need to be perceived in a certain way, and just like a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of doesn't allow me to just Be me?
Just be.
Yeah, just be. Mm-hmm. And so the next story that comes in with that is that I don't know how to be. You know, I don't know how to just be me. Mm-hmm. And so there's that kind of gets put on top of it. And then there seems like, and I've been receiving some really great guidance and coaching around this as well, but there seems like there's a belief too that it's like the only two options with it are to kind of go victim to it. And indulge it and kind of act from that space and mm-hmm. kind of move away from any chance of really just being just
be. Mm-hmm.
And then the other place to go to it is kind of the other side of the duality, which is fake it. You know, mm-hmm. Say the right thing,
mm-hmm.
be the right way,
mm-hmm.
Try and do it like others do it, or you know, whatever that is.
Can I ask you, before you, don't forget where you're going, but so what you're doing right now, are you outing the person you're supposed to be? Is that basically what you're doing?
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm attempting to.
Mm-hmm.
I may be in that, so I may either be outing or I may be acting it out. I don't know.
It's just occurring to me that, I mean, because your question, I think, was, you know, how to just be.
Yeah.
And that seems like an excellent way to get there.
Uh-huh.
You know, is to say everything that it's not that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like what we were talking about a minute ago. You know, so if you're just kind of like putting it all out there in awareness. Mm-hmm. In this case, you're using the assistance of the group.
Yeah.
You know, the structure that's available. You know, because it's a format for where we can, or forum. I'm not sure which word is right.
Both, probably.
Or both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where we can say what's going on.
Yeah, and it's very public.
Yeah, which is helpful too. There's just like provide some accountability.
That's right.
So you're taking everything. That so the karma is to, it's all real. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be a certain somebody. Mm-hmm. You have probably strategies that it tells you to use to try to do that. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to have a people perceive you in a particular way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing that, so you could speak from that, and that would be one experience. Instead of doing that, what you're attempting to do this morning is say what that is.
Yeah.
And get that out in awareness. Also get it out publicly, because then there'll be some support for the alternative, which is just being.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And as you were saying that, it's how part of that I'm attempting to out is how people perceive me. But it's also, I think a piece of it is too, like, part of what I want to out is how I'm supposed to perceive myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a big racket too.
Mm-hmm. It's probably this similar or the same.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just kind of projected inwards or
mm-hmm.
outwards kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. How else can I have this? I want to say something around part of the karma is that to not be happy or to not really show. Gratitude or appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pride involved. Like, you know, so the karma is, you know, I'm supposed to walk around like impervious to kind of practice and stuff. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. practice may be what they do, but, you know, I don't really need that.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So there's arrogance, there's pride with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of that, what wants to be added too is the kind of the other side of that duality, which is, they all get it,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're really kind of super practitioners and I'm an idiot, you know, mm-hmm. that whole, like, indulging that side of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more. I don't quite know what to,
mm-hmm.
I don't quite know how to have it.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, like a bundle, tell me if this is your experience, a bundle of processes, a bundle of identities. They're all doing different things, but they all are sort of participating in one process, which is to pull you out of just being here right now
mm-hmm.
into this illusory reality
yeah.
where you end up with the experience that it dictates to you.
Mm-hmm.
Where so a couple of things that you meant, like you're separate
mm-hmm.
and you're not happy. You're better than or worse than.
Yeah.
So there's all this stuff that's going on. None of that really, which has anything to do with you naturally, but it all seems to have a lot to do with you if you're willing to go with the to go with the supposed reality of that whole process and that whole bundle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and so in some ways, I was really appreciating what people were saying by just watching that.
Yeah.
And not, not having to act it out or...
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So would you say that, how close is that to authenticity?
The watching?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I suspect if it's a place of watching, that it would probably be pretty close mm-hmm. to authenticity, just in the sense that it's not it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not kind of believing in and having it all be real and, mm-hmm. you know, that.
There's a quality of being in that watching, isn't there?
Yeah.
Because it's not, it's, I've been getting that from what other people have been saying, it's active, very active, but it's not active in the sense of doing, like I'm doing. Mm-hmm. There's a quality of being in it, there's an allowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sidesteps the preparing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could really relate to, I forget what conversation I was in, I think it was in the first conversation from this morning about, you know, kind of all night kind of thinking, mm-hmm. You know, it's the same, not just for kind of the way the system works to take me out of that watching place is to live in a place of constant preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so days ago there was preparation for Sunday morning group,
mm-hmm.
you know, the anxiety around it and, you know, you're going to have to be seen and, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to speak up and, you know, you'll be judged and you'll say the wrong thing and, you know, mm-hmm. the whole kind of song and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the watching place where, okay, so that's a process, that's part of it, and then just kind of stepping back I don't know.
And just speaking,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And something was said to me a couple weeks ago about not caring. You know, not caring what other people thought, not caring what the voices thought afterwards, you know. Just speaking. And I can't say that I'm there yet. You know, obviously I can, you know, but it's a great encouragement.
Yeah, I was just seeing that too. And there's even another step, potentially, which is to, you know, this what is taken the judgment, we might say, the supposed judgment, is ego.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not you.
No.
It's this whole system that is working so hard to be in control of you. So there's a way kind of in taking pleasure in its punishment. Punishment's not a good word. In its humiliation. that's a part of outing. You're outing it in a relatively gentle way, but there could be, you know, if you're not taking that personally, mm-hmm. then, you know, it's kind of a good thing for you if it takes a bunch of hits.
Yeah.
You know, if it's embarrassed, if it's shown, it's not so much those things, but if it's shown, especially publicly, as what it actually is,
mm-hmm.
you know, as this deceiving, manipulative system that is feeding off of a perfectly good person's life force.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, even sitting here this morning, a lot of those experiences are coming up. You know, there's an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. So we're having this interaction, and kind of the radio in the background is playing,
mm-hmm.
which I'm attempting to just allow to play, but just still stay here with you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of the thing. It's like, you know, God, you sound like an idiot. You know, mm-hmm. you're rambling. You don't know what the hell you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's that commentary on it. So in some ways, I don't know if this is what you're pointing at, but it is taking hit after hit after hit.
Yes.
Even just being here, saying what I'm saying, it's
yeah.
a dreadfully uncomfortable place.
Yeah, and that's really good for you.
And really bad.
Yeah. Boy, that is such an important disidentification, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're not taking it personally, then what happens to it does not have to disturb you.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, you likely want for it to take as many hits as necessary mm-hmm. in order for you to be free of it.
Yeah.
And for you really to see it too. For you, because that's really where the hits are coming from. It's like, I see it. I don't believe you. I'm not going with this game anymore. I see what's going on here.
Yeah, I like that a lot. The the thing of, that was really coming up this morning before I spoke up was that place of speaking, and of course this is just metaphor for living, you know, because it's, in a way, the way conditioning sets it up, the way this kind of pride thing is that it needs to all be ready to be said before it can be said, mm-hmm. or it needs to be ready to be lived. You know, you need to know how to be before you can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I was really keen to attempt to do this morning was to jump in, not from, you know, like...
Not prepared.
Not prepared at all, nervous, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, you know, I'm cotton mouth, you know, just totally very vulnerable place, mm-hmm. you know, very vulnerable, very open,
mm-hmm.
and really wanting to say, like, you know, look, that stuff isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a bunch of crap, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as you said, there's, and this was from last week in group two, somebody desperately wants to participate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just wants to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to be a part of life, and he wants mm-hmm. to engage and express his own happiness and enthusiasm about how he sees things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's kind of like, he's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
He's not from the system.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he wants to be a part of this mm-hmm. rather than a part of this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Penny.
I was, I'm harkening back to that conversation about organization.
Uh-huh.
And letting things fall through cracks. So I just, I've been noticing, and also what I was hearing in that was the helpfulness of not having anything mean anything.
Mm-hmm. Very helpful.
Very helpful. So I've noticed that at this stage of my life that I am not alone in this phenomenon of forgetting things.
Uh-huh.
And
I hear some assent.
I hear some age-related chuckles. And what I'm trying to watch is not letting conditioning get hold of that and make it an age thing. Well, of course.
Boy, that is critical because it could turn what may or may not be happening into a certainty,
yes.
like a self-fulfilling prophecy,
yeah.
and could really.
That's right. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
and what just arose for me was, I have had this experience. I mean, it's that, you know, I don't know why I just came into this room kind of experience,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. Not this room, but any room.
Of course, there are those of us who have that all the time, no matter what.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. I thought, what I have been looking at is, actually, this is not new. That, you know, there have been a lot of times in my life when I have been vague and preoccupied. I've been a lot of reasons not knowing I was there. And to just not let conditioning capture that, you know, and not let it mean anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
To actually develop a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
And to also develop tricks to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when I think of something and this is not the time to do it, to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't write it down, I know. I will, it'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And to just use those tricks and treat them as play instead of, you know, sort of buttressing the crumbling building.
Yeah, well, there's no meaning in it.
There's no meaning.
There's no reason for it to be serious.
That's right, yeah. And I just have found that approach to it a relief because
mm-hmm.
for a while I was getting quite concerned. And
is that the equivalent of believing the meaning?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Like it is, you know, this is the beginning of falling apart, kind of thing. And so just remembering that I've been falling apart for a long time, if that's true, or just, you know, that this is human, and also to say, oh, this is a great reminder to pay attention, because so much of it is that I become distracted.
Yes.
And I'm told, I read that. One thing that does happen when one becomes older is that if there's a distraction between A and B, it's a little harder to get to B than it was before.
If there's a distraction.
So from one from A to B and something intercedes, it becomes a little harder to recapture
B. Remember what that B was.
So I think, well then, if that's true, then it's all the more incentive to pay attention.
Yeah, for sure. Well, then talk about a turnaround in attitude of mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's because that's positive. That's there's goodness in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an assist for you instead of just some this real big problem.
Yeah. So that's what this has been really helpful. Is I figured, well, whatever's happening, I might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, see, like, the other thing that it's doing for you is it's allowing you to be with what actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Without believing, you can, you know, you can be here with what actually is here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, probably it's like other things. You know, some days you remember really a lot better than other days. You know, kind of moving all around. So you can be present with that instead of having this idea about what's going on that you're referring to, which is takes away your ability to be present with what actually is going on.
Yeah, that's a helpful. What you just said was very helpful because as long as I'm referencing some way that I ought to be,
yes,
that's the problem.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Or something that supposedly is happening, which may or may not be happening.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter if I enter the room. I don't remember why I'm there. But if I reference something about that,
mm-hmm.
about how I really ought to be,
mm-hmm.
that's really where the problem is.
Yeah, and if you kind of look at it in terms of scary things that can affect your life, walking to a room and not knowing why you got there, I mean, but that's a low grade, but making up meaning about things that are not here and then right. Living out as if those are true, oh my gosh.
Right. I can always walk back down the hall and walk back into the room.
Yeah, it's one of those techniques. I'll start back over at A, and
that's
probably
right.
By the time I get there, I'll remember people. Let's see, I saw Cameron next.
Out of that conversation about the organization, I saw something that affects me in that area. Just last night, I had this experience of, the part of the topic about, you know, if you get a system, it doesn't mean it has to be the system forever,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
This calendar has to last a year because I bought it and it's for the year,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it doesn't work by the time I get to March, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still using it because...
You've decided you got to plow through.
Yeah, it's the year calendar. That sort of mentality I have seen before, but last night I saw how in dealing actually with physical things, a very physical thing, I saw how this karmic process manifested. So what I saw was I'm trying to block off one room where I live because I got a very expensive heating bill, and I thought, well, I'll just block one room off that I don't use very much and close the fence. And
mm-hmm.
so in doing that, it was kind of a little process, and I had to get the right things and everything. And in the meanwhile, there was something in that doorway that was already established for another reason. It didn't have anything to do with keeping the temperature. It was, anyway, it was there, and it was established, and it worked. It worked for what that needed to be.
So you didn't want to give up that in order to close off the doorway.
Well, I didn't even think about that. I'm now closing off the doorway. This thing has been established, so I'm working around.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha. I'm working around the established thing.
Being established means it's kind of like an assumption. It's got put there, and then it's no longer you pay attention to.
Well, it's gotten put in there, and now it's part of the system. It works.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so I put it there, and it's not that hard to take it out. But what I'm describing is mm-hmm. that wasn't even part of what was considered.
Because it's like it's there forever.
It's established and it works. And so, you know, I'm working around it to make this other thing work. And the other thing wasn't working exactly so. And I was, somebody called and I was in the middle of doing it and I was describing. And the person said, well, why don't you move that thing and put it in front of that thing? And I went, oh my God, that's a perfect solution. And it hadn't even occurred to me because that other thing was where it was and it worked. And so I was doing the second thing without even putting that thing into part of the equation.
Yeah. It's like putting something in a file folder in your mind. So there's a file folder that says that works or that's established. And it goes in there and then it gets lost in the file drawer. You know, there's not any questioning of it. You can't really see it. You can't see it in a way that would give you other options. Because it's like it's been decided on forever, and now it's not going to change.
Yeah, and I have seen that in various ways a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just really a shock last night to see that, oh my God, there it is again. It's still a mental process,
mm-hmm.
or a karmic tendency to get things established, and if they work, then there's no need to, you know, we're just doing.
Yeah, and stop. Well, basically, I think what you're saying is, and then you stop paying attention to it.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it works. Mm-hmm. Quote unquote. But in this case, it wasn't working.
Yeah, well,
it was
see,
in the way of the new system.
Well, that's the idea. Like we were just saying, you know, we make an idea and refer to that instead of what's actually going on. So the idea is, well, that works.
Yeah.
So it cannot be questioned.
That's right.
It cannot be looked at.
And the way that moving it to be in a different orientation to this other thing mm-hmm. actually helps the other thing. Now they both work. And it's perfect. And I was like, huh, wow.
So without an external person who is not locked in the same idea about
yeah,
this thing.
They just saw how it could work.
Yeah, it probably would still be sitting there.
But probably would, sadly enough.
But you got somebody, it shows how individual it is. So somebody who does not have that going about
yeah.
it is plain as day. It's like, oh, why don't you just do this? But we can't see it because we're sort of imprisoned by our preconceptions.
Yeah, but one thing that was different, that hasn't been, that was different from sometimes in the past, is that when the person suggested that, I just went, oh, yeah, in the past. I would not have been, you know, it's been moving, but, you know, there would be less of an openness because there would be like, well, no, that has to be there because that's how that works, you know, and instead of like trying it even. But, I mean, this time I just went.
You went right there.
I'm going to try that. That seems like that would work. And then it did. And it, you know, the problem with this drape kind of, when the heat turns on, it would blow, and then it wouldn't be the barrier. Now this thing is behind it, it can't go anywhere, and it's like, woo! and yet, you know, and so I just have to watch that now, because it's really getting clear that that's something I do. I remember once I bought into a house with some other person who had bought into it in more of a way, so had more of ownership. I came home one day, and this person had a sledgehammer and was knocking down a wall. And I was like, that's a wall. You don't just bang it down, but yes, that can happen. And so it's that kind of thing, that it must be, you know, that my education or something, there's things get structured and then...
Well, I think it's universal. I think that's basic conditioning, don't you think?
Yeah,
I mean, 'cause that's what it's doing all the time. It's trying to make things like rigid and inflexible and put them in boxes and stuff, so we don't have to pay attention. You know, we know what that is. You know, we can't pay attention. We can't mm-hmm. see all the other things mm-hmm. are available because we've already decided about everything.
Mm-hmm. But yet, in order to create the thing that was there, I had to have an idea of making something different that was going to work to do what it did. It's not like I don't have the skills. Mm-hmm. Or the mental capacity to do that. It's just that once it's in place, mm-hmm. then something else is going on where...
Yeah, it gets left there forever. The attention doesn't go back to it.
Yeah. And I am seeing that change. I'm in a different place, you know, a newer place where I'm living, and I'm seeing that things are not staying like they used to. I mean, a lot of things are the same. Can't change everything every day, but... There is something's coming in where I notice something isn't working just quite right, and I create another, you know, way to do it or something. Mm-hmm. So, that was just really clear last night. Wow. It was so obvious once it was suggested that that's just the perfect solution, and it hadn't occurred to me.
Yeah, and you're really seeing the process of that, and you're wanting to be looking for that in other places.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, because I can see how it's, you know, it affects my spiritual growth, all mm-hmm. kinds of things like mm-hmm. that, you know, and it's not being really present in the moment mm-hmm. and seeing what's so now.
Yeah. Great, thank you. Thank you.
The conversation this morning has brought to mind something that I read this week that was incredibly helpful around focusing the attention. It was not something I read in a practice context, but I was reading it in, I don't know where it was, but The sentence said, it was said, something about we're an unhappy country because we focus on the 10% that we're unhappy about rather than the 90% that we're happy about. Mm-hmm. And that just, that so hit me personally. It was like, that's, in a way, that's what conditioning is. It's focusing on the 10% mm-hmm. that is wrong, the 10% that doesn't work, the 10% that hurts, and determines my entire experience.
Yeah, it ends up, it makes you 100% unhappy.
That's right. That's right. It absolutely does. Mm-hmm. And you forget about the 90%.
Yeah, it just wipes it out.
It just wipes it out. It's like, and when I saw that, I thought, actually, that's true. You know, there is 90% that isn't mm-hmm. all these things that I focus my attention on.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just been such a helpful tool mm-hmm. when I find myself back in the 10%. To be reminded of the 90% and switch my attention
and
to that.
Just turn your attention. Yeah, because it's right here, isn't it?
It's right there.
Yeah, I mean, if we really would love, it's probably, you know, like 99.9999.
Right, really.
It's a little,
that's right.
Decimal with a lot of zeros.
That's right.
There's a lot
that's working. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I was in the store yesterday and that little bumper sticker that said something like, you know, fight global whining. I need that on my truck. You know, I was like, because I thought that's what focusing on the 10% is.
It's
just like, it's like an agreement to complain.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I thought, I don't want to be in that agreement.
Yeah, it really helps call it whining, doesn't it?
Yeah,
nobody wants
to be a whiner. It is.
Yeah, instead of this is. You know, this is how it is, I'm being responsible by seeing how it is. No, I'm just whining and complaining.
I'm just whining and complaining, right. Mm-hmm. Right. I just have all my attention drawn to this piece that isn't working,
mm-hmm.
to the exclusion of all the abundance that is.
With a dramatic effect on your on your experience of life.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very powerful. It's powerful that it can do that so completely.
Yeah.
So completely determine our experience
just
through that focus, that shift in focus.
And it's been particularly helpful with my physical body, because when something hurts and doesn't work right, all my experience in a way of my being physically is determined by that. But when I really look at it, I go, well, actually, those parts are really small parts of my body.
I got a lot of parts.
I have a lot of parts that really work well and don't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so why don't I focus on those?
Yeah, boy, and then so the reverse is true too. You know, the power of focusing attention on the 10%, you know, which is the unhappiness. The power of focusing attention on everything that's working.
Yeah.
You know, there's you know, that's really the experience that we're looking for.
Yeah.
Deb.
I also have a drawing obsession that I'm dealing with.
Okay.
And so much so that I got professional guidance about it this week. And one of the things that is happening to me is I started drawing and I added color and then I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do this with that, and so it got huge
mm-hmm.
and expensive and crazy. And so when I went and talked to somebody about it this week, what I realized is that when I started adding all this stuff, I started getting a lot of anxiety, and to the point where it was bringing back some old patterns in my life and everything. And then, so the guidance that I got was, well, just go back to black and white. Just go back to just doing black and white and just add a little color at a time, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. So what dropped in today while I was meditating is that it's the same practice as meditation for me. I need to just go back to one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's what I mean. I was so grateful that the conversation came up today, because
it's just really coming back to one for me, you know, and starting over, you know, and then dealing with it. If something pops in again, you know, look at it and then go back to one.
Yeah. So is it your sense that, so right now, one is black and white with maybe just a little bit of color every once in a while.
Yeah.
But as you practice with this, I wonder if one could become more color.
Exactly.
And then one becomes more right. color and whatever else you're pulling into.
Right,
it.
Right.
So it's like your presence is kind of expanding to include more and more. But it's happening, or potentially, and it can happen in a step-by-step process.
Right.
Instead of like all at once, all of this stuff coming in that's really overwhelming and anxiety-producing.
Right. And this year has been such a huge transition for me. I mean, I've made some major transitions. And what was said to me was that, you know, I'm turning into a different person. Mm-hmm. I'm becoming, and what just came in as I just, it almost flew out of my mouth, my authentic self. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of exciting, more so than stress causing.
Yeah. So if I'm following you, so that the way that has happened with this drawing, we might call that your old self. You know, to get excited about it and then just dive in, just go all out, spend a lot of money and get overwhelmed and anxious.
Right.
That's
and get in trouble.
Yeah. So that's the old way of doing it.
Yeah.
And so with this content, it sounds like you're working in a lot of different areas on this, but with this particular one, you're looking for the way of being with this and approaching this that expresses who you are now.
Right.
Which is not it's not that same suffering person that you used to be.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it really helped to process that too.
Yeah, and it is exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's exciting to have an opportunity like that available to really be able to find out who we are and to be able to express that. Mm-hmm. Instead of conditioning, you know, taking all of our natural impulses and turning it into the same old suffering. Mm-hmm.
I've been especially hard on myself the last few weeks. I feel like as I become more self-aware, then I never really especially cared what other people thought. Mm-hmm. But the more I become self-aware, the more I realize how maybe I affect other people. Mm-hmm. So I've been especially down on myself, and I think mostly because I know better than to be down on myself.
Uh-huh. Let me say it to you. Don't forget where you're going. Let me say it to you in a slightly different way and see if this resonates. That so you're doing awareness practice, and so you're more aware. You're seeing more about yourself and about how you're conditioned and how that plays out and things like that. And conditioning is sort of tagging along with that, and it's beating you up for everything that you're seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not so much that you're being hard on yourself, it's more like it's being hard on you for what you're seeing.
Yeah, and I feel like I should know better. Is I think the underlying, what's underlying is that I should know that that's happened and I need to move on, mm-hmm. you know, or... You know, that I could do something different in the future to avoid the situation, but I feel like I keep making the same mistakes.
Yeah, and so where does that? Who's to say that you know better? You should know. How could you possibly know better? You're just right. You're just exploring this right now.
Sure. Well, and I've been. I guess I've taken a few classes in the last year, and so I've been. Well, I guess it is the ego. I think that I'm more conscious of things, and I am self-aware. And then when I do things that, for example, I insulted a friend, or I bicker with my husband over silly things, and then I just it festers and gets bigger.
Yeah, when you get beat up over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with. We talk a lot around here about self-hatred. Have you run across that before?
Yeah, I'm aware of it. And again, that's why I'm like, why are you beating yourself up, or why are, why is this coming?
That's just so classic, you know. So we might say, you know, so authentic you, just to make it really simple, is doing practice and having a lot of awarenesses. Conditioning is beating you up for that. Self-hate is beating you up for that. And then self-hate is beating you up for its having beat you up. Yeah. And it's just, that's just so what it does.
So I'm just kind of waiting for this awareness that I have to kind of kick in so that... like, at what point do I... stop doing this to myself, you know? Like, after how much conditioning and how much meditation does it take?
What would it be like to turn your attention, you know, this awareness that you're practicing, to self-hate? You know, to that process of being?
And I did. I feel like I'm conscious of the self-hate, and I've never done this to myself before. I think I actually used to say, oh, it's my mom's fault, or my husband's acting this way. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, maybe it's me who needs to change, you know? And and then in doing so, I'm like, oh, and I can't let it go. I just keep thinking about, oh, what they said, or how I acted, or...
Yeah.
And then I'll do it again the next day, you know?
Well, it may very well be that there are things you would like to change, now that you can see them. And that's a good thing. You know, that's without the self-hate, that's a happy thing.
Sure.
You know, because here you have an opportunity to like change the way you relate to people. I mean, that there's nothing but good in that. But that's not acceptable from the point of view of egocentric karma conditioning, self-hate. You know, because there's a whole nother, I don't know if you can sense it, there's a whole nother sort of sub-agenda going on with this, where, you know, conditioning actually doesn't care what you do. It doesn't care how you are, doesn't care how you relate to the people in your life. It only cares about being in control of you. You kind of get a sense of that?
Mm-hmm.
So if anything you do that is going to take away its ability to control you, it's going to get upset about. And the number one thing you can do to interfere with its ability to control with you is to be aware. Because, you know, you're aware of a lot of stuff. And, you know, sooner or later you're going to get aware of more and more of it and what it's doing. And then there's a freedom that comes with that, a freedom to be who you really are instead of what it says that you are. You know, a freedom to act naturally and with love with the people in your life instead of in the ways that it's actually causing you to be.
Sure. Well, this is new to me, too. Like I said, I've never been especially hard on myself. Mm-hmm.
I think the reason for that, I suspect the reason for that is because up until now you've just been going along with its program.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't been questioning these things. You know, if there was any kind of like unskillful behaviors, you know, probably there's just, like you said, there's justification for that. Well, he that was because he did that or she did that. So there hasn't been a questioning of this system that we talk about here as egocentric karma conditioning self-hate that has been in charge of all that, making all that happen and controlling you in that. Now what's going on, though, is you're doing awareness practice, and so you're really threatening it. So it has to come out, it has to try to get you back in line. And the way that it has to do that is to beat you up and make you feel bad. If you're just going along with the program, it doesn't have to beat you up because you're going along with the program. If you stop going along with the program, which you very much are, then it's got to try to beat you up to try to get you back into relationship with it where it can start to control you again. Yeah. So just one little thing. I wonder what it would be like to see if you can foster in yourself like a compassionate coach kind of a person or a compassionate being. Like you said, you know, you just this is brand new for you. So an understanding that you know, it's brand new. I can give myself a break here. You know, these things aren't really me. They're just things I was conditioned to do. You know, things along those lines to maybe so you can have a like a guiding presence in your life that doesn't hate you, but that really cares about you and wants you to succeed.
That's great advice. how do you seek out people that like that, or you know, who do you?
I'm talking about an internal person. Internal.
Okay.
Yeah. To learn how to learn how to talk to yourself in those kinds of ways.
Self-coaching.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Jen.
Can I just say one more thing, which is that we have a fabulous 8-day retreat on this very topic. There's nothing wrong with you. Many opportunities for it in 2014, all on the website. And I just, it speaks to everything that's extraordinary. I mean, you guys, the two of you just laid all of practice out beautifully. Mm-hmm. You know, the willingness to do it, starting to see it, we see it, conditioning ramps up. You know, we grow the ability, as you say, to have that internal experience of being able to carry ourselves through it. Mm-hmm. It's a really good walking through the steps process.
It really is, yeah, great depth, and you come out with a lot of great tools.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
So, I just want to quickly add, too, it is a while before our next There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, but another good support, as well as coming here on Sundays, is tuning in on Tuesdays.
Oh, good idea.
To the open air. Mm-hmm. And it's really helpful to hear what other folks have to say and to even have an opportunity to call in to talk, to share in person.
We could definitely call in. Yeah. Yeah, so the way to do that is to go on the website and then you just go to the open air part.
Yeah.
And it tells you exactly how to dial
in. Yeah, it's valuable. And there's just hundreds of hours of shows that you can listen to too, mm-hmm. to help put that loving presence in place to really have your attention focused toward.
Yeah, and I think the kind of the principle underneath what you're saying is in places like we were just talking about, it really is good to get as much support as possible.
Yes.
Same with a retreat.
Yeah.
To really get as much support as possible, because it's challenging to go this thing, you know, egocentric karma conditioning self-hate is, for most people, you know, when we start, and even a long time after we start, it's an incredibly powerful force in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a lot of support in being able to go up against that and to see through it, and so that we can find other possibilities for ourselves.
And then there's also on the website, you find Zen Awareness Coaches, which are also...
Zen Awareness Coaches, yeah.
Yeah,
that's another one. Okay, good. Yes?
So I've been trying to, for a very long time, and I wasn't even aware of what I was trying to do. But just recently I've realized that letting go of the outcome of things has really quieted that self-hate and that this whole process that I can get into and this control.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I'm trying to control the outcome and I'm stuck on the outcome,
mm-hmm.
that I turn into a completely different person.
Uh-huh.
And that has been so amazing, connecting what it was that was causing me to spiral into this controlling person or,
uh-huh.
You know, especially with my three kids, as soon as I'm kind of like get stuck on like what I want them to do and how I want them to be, I just completely get into this,
really hard place.
Totally. Yeah. And even with, you know, I'm in school and, you know, there's so many things going on in our lives. As soon as I get really stuck, I start to, if the outcome doesn't turn out like I wanted it to,
mm-hmm.
then I start this self-hate. Like, what didn't I do in that process to make that happen, to get that end result? And then I just, it's this...
spirals out.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
And since I've noticed... really, really, I'm really getting to a point where I can completely let go of that outcome, and mm-hmm. it has been so amazing.
Well,
and how much has changed.
Uh-huh.
Stress level, physically, mentally, my relationships, I mean, I can't believe it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have an outcome, there's nothing to get beat up over, is there?
Exactly. Exactly. If it's gone, there's no expectation.
Uh-huh.
And we can just totally let whatever's supposed to be happening go through this process.
Uh-huh.
And
it's not like you're not effective or you can't do anything.
No, you're just not attached to that.
You're just not attached to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I didn't realize what I was trying to do for the last several years. And and now I just realized and it's pretty cool.
Well, I think what you're saying, just to say it a different way, is, you know, that attachment, that's the avenue, that's the way that conditioning has access to you, right?
Yeah.
If you're willing to believe in that attachment, then it can come in, it can talk to you about that, it can sell these expectations, it can cause you to invest in all those things, and then it can beat you up afterwards when it doesn't go the way that it says it should have, which it never will.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take that away, you've taken away its access to you. It has no way of in a way of getting hold of you because you've let go of what it's using to try to attract your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it could be really stressful because it would be, you know, weeks in events, weeks ahead, and I'd have this idea of this expectation of what I should be, and what, you know, and of course there's lots of family dynamics too, that, you know, you have this role that you play in your family or whatever it is. And as soon as you just let go of that, it was just,
it was good. Yeah, that's great.